Around the NFL podcast. Spent all of their money to buy Bitcoin.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined in a room filled with heroes. Connie Fox, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, people?
Hey, Dan.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey. Welcome back, Connie.
It's great to be here.
When's the last time you were here?
I don't know.
Feels like it's been a minute.
Yeah, I think it has been. Maybe a week or so.
Picked a good show to come back.
I'm back to bless your ears, everybody.
Nice.
Wow. Greg, your thoughts?
I support all Connie Fox endeavors and initiatives.
Did you call me Kanye Fox?
Well, then.
We're just talking about the new album, Yay. We're split as a room, it sounds like. Wes is yet to weigh in, but
okay.
The rest of the room.
I cannot support that man's career.
Okay.
That's fair.
Listen, everybody's got an opinion.
Kanye Fox is definitely, like, that could be the title of your second album. Like, you don't want that to be your debut, but you can turn into Kanye Fox.
I'm going to start using that name, like, at hotels and stuff.
Yes, that should be the next level. Like, when you get another NFL show, when you get, like, your seventh show, you have to start using pseudonyms.
So
that's perfect. This is the Wednesday Hump Day edition. Oh, man.
Hump Day.
Are we to Friday or are we closer to Monday? Can't tell.
The bit has extended.
Yeah, that's.
But you know what? You call it a bit, but you could all relate to exactly what I'm talking about right now. Has this been a little bit of a long week so far?
This is the only day I'm coming to work.
Okay.
Kanye over there has barely worked in like a month.
Kanye's got a good game over there.
Kanye Fox.
Yeezy over there is really.
The history is.
All right. All right. You know, I get up here and then you guys slap me back down.
Listen to the gravitas in your voice.
The history here.
That's why the Poconos Tourism Board paid her the big bucks.
Booming now. Business is booming there.
This is, the Hump Day edition of the podcast. Got some mini camp talk, all these teams and camp. So we'll do some updates on some players, including some notable names that are holding out. An update on Andrew Luck, who, my God, golly gee, he's throwing a football.
He's doing it.
Oh, just not the football necessarily that you want him to be throwing. And we'll get to that. Reggie Bush makes a few more $1 million. Bad news for Christian Hackenberg. And we're bringing it back. For another year, Wheel of Destiny.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Backed by no demand.
Backed by not so popular demand, but back anyway. And let me tell you something. The stakes just got higher, and I'll explain later.
Ooh.
How could they be any lower?
Well, that's how you get Greg into a game.
Good point.
Yeah.
Raise the stakes.
You got to raise the stakes. Keep it interesting.
But before we do that, we throw it behind the glass, say hello to Lindsay Fulton. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Very, very well. Are you excited for Wheel of Destiny? Because you do have a role in this as well. And
I can't wait. I've been waiting for this all season.
Wow.
All off season.
That's true.
You just heard of it for the first time.
No, that's not true.
Right? No?
Yeah, but before Lindsay went away on her vacation, she specifically requested we hold off Wheel of Destiny until she returns.
So she was the one person demanding it come
so
back.
So there was a demand.
Okay.
There you go.
That's right. It was all me.
All right. Let's do some news.
I'm John Gonzalez.
And I'm Colleen.
No.
This is off the clock.
You guys.
I watched that video the other day.
Great. Oh, awesome.
What is it?
Cool.
It showed up on the subreddit. What are you and
that's on the subreddit.
Your husband had a popular.
You know, in gangster movies, when they talk about swimming with the fishes, I thought it would be a lot more fun to take Colleen to swim with the sharks.
There's a lot of videos.
Yeah, John's doing his John thing. He's doing a shtick. He's in his element.
Yeah.
It was our little show that we had in Philly.
You were paid for it?
No, I wasn't. I think it was part of John's job. Like, he had to do it, and then I just got roped into it.
But, you could say that it actually led to you getting paid here.
Oh, yeah.
And coming in once a week, like that type of situation you now have.
None NFL Network had access to your shark footage.
I know. All the skeletons in my closet. Go ahead. Pull them all out.
I feel like there's sharks out here now.
Oh, no.
All right, let's start with some more holdouts. Julio Jones. The Atlanta Falcons superstar wide receiver informed the Falcons that he would not be attending their three-day minicamp event Tuesday through Thursday. It runs. Thomas Dimitroff, the Falcons GM, said, "We've been in contact with Julio and his representation, and they won't be discussing anything publicly about that. But Julio wants to get paid, Greg." So right there, Julio Jones wants a deal. Also not at minicamp, David Johnson, entering a contract year with the Arizona Cardinals, the dynamic running back who missed most of last year with a wrist injury, and Taylor Lewan also sitting things out. Any of these concern you at all, Greg?
Well, to the extent that they could all be training camp holdouts, I think they are newsworthy. Julio's is the most interesting because he has 3 years left on his deal. So that is, you know, atypical for a holdout. And interesting to me because it's driven the Atlanta Falcons fan base and some of the media there like a little crazy. I'm surprised how pro-management and annoyed at Julio Jones they are for a three-day non-padded practice in the middle of June.
Yeah, it's weird because Julio Jones is like the least diva wide receiver in the league when you think about all the different personalities. And he's a type of guy that he loves to block. I mean, he gets into all of the dirty work when he's on the field. So this is probably the last time he's going to have a shot at having some type of leverage like he has now. So why not?
There is no reason to be concerned in mid-June for something that could be more concerning in late July. I mean, there's no reason for concern.
No, there's
right
no concern now. It just might be – it's more of a preview of something we could be talking about in the middle of August. It's possible. Julio's is interesting because on one hand, it's like when you sign a six-year deal in 2015, you should sort of understand that receivers are going to pass you on the, you know, on the – depth on the, you know, total pay
right
scale. He's relatively underpaid. On the other hand, it's like Julio Jones. And why not go get that money right now? Because he probably will get it in the end, even if you have 3 years left on your deal. I saw some Seahawks fans on Twitter like, Earl Thomas for Julio Jones. Like, who says no? The Falcons say no. The Falcons say no. Julio Jones.
Seahawks fans are the worst.
Right. Earl Thomas and a second-round picket for Julio Jones would never happen.
Every player ever to wear a Seahawks uniform is a Hall of Famer, according to the 12s.
And Julio Jones, he's a businessman. He's a football player professionally. And what we've seen in the offseason, this year especially, is players starting to sign shorter deals and getting back to the table quicker. And he signed a deal that now seems a little archaic. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, signed a contract, bro.
Yeah.
You signed up for that enhanced security.
Wait, you can't do that.
And he will. He will end up playing probably under an enhanced contract.
NFL contracts mean nothing. Yeah. NFL teams rip them up all the time.
David right Johnson's – I was interested to hear Mike Garofolo say that there's no way he's playing – under this current deal, and Garofolo essentially said this deal is going to happen. They're going to give David Johnson a big contract, and sounded like both sides are pretty confident.
Don't worry, Falcons fans.
It's going to be okay.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Probably. Taylor Lewan fans, you know.
That, on the other side, yeah.
That's a major issue.
Yikes.
Really. I don't think that's the truth either. Andrew Luck is making progress. The Colts quarterback who just recently was removed from the Superstar Club, which we have not been able to get comment from because he has not left his home since the news that he has exited in favor of Carson Wentz. Colleen, are you aware
of
this?
I think it's tough that we haven't had a statement from him yet.
Well,
maybe this was his statement.
Isn't the upcoming news story you're about to say proof that he was out of the home since we took him out of the Superstar Club?
That's actually pretty good, Greg. Good reporting. Good sleuthing. Andrew Luck is throwing footballs at Colts minicamp. They're just not the ones that they use in the NFL. He's not throwing the Duke. He's throwing a high school-sized ball, and it's a little bit lighter, a little bit smaller, but it's progress. And here's what he had to say about where he is right now.
The goal, certainly more short-term, is to be ready to go for training camp, to be able to not just participate, but get better, you know, the team better. Go, like, see what we can make this year's Colts.
I would love to hear Andrew Luck like just read a whole Stephen King book. And also, are you going to be ready for Week 1, Andrew?
Yeah, absolutely. No, knock on wood. I'm going to be there. I'll be playing. It's,
yeah, you'll be there.
I believe it in my bones, yeah.
Wes, you have a grin on your face.
Well, he has thrown the Duke. He revealed that he has thrown the Duke in private workout sessions with head coach Frank Reich.
This is exhausting.
And
people
that he really, swore Reich to secrecy.
Really into the size of the football balls right. He's throwing this offseason. I don't know why.
Yeah, he can feel it in his bones. He'll be there week one. I'm not – you're not going to – I know you're trying to get us to bite on being concerned about all these stories, but I'm not concerned about it.
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
I am not trying
Should
to
we be
bite.
Concerned about any of this? No.
This
I mean, it is weird,
subplot.
Though, that he's saying that he had a mental block throwing a real football.
The Duke.
Well, it had been a while. It had been a long time. Almost unprecedented for quarterbacks to not throw football or not be involved for a couple of years like this.
The whole Andrew Luck story and everything that's happened over the past, what's it been now, like a year and a half? It's just so weird. It's been so mystifying.
Mm-hmm. But we should be a little bit concerned, right, Wes?
I'm not concerned. If he's not out there in week one, I'll be concerned.
I mean, the human body is mysterious.
Actually, if we're reporting a couple of days leading up to week one that he won't be out there, then I'll be concerned.
And a listener of the podcast – a man named Eric reached out to me and said, hey, you guys kind of left us hanging at the end of Monday's show. Who is in the superstar club at the quarterback position? And just a little housekeeping here. It's Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Big Ben, Drew Brees, Dangerous, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, and now Carson Wentz.
That would be a crazy house.
I thought you were going to say we left him hanging on the Fortnite analysis.
Oh. Wait, I was thinking about Fortnite too.
You know, I never heard anything about the Fortnite podcast, and I think that's telling. Update on Odell Beckham Jr. You guys excited for this?
Ooh.
Let me guess. Everything is copacetic.
I can't wait.
I'm really excited to tell you about this moment.
Wes has you on edge.
Because I just want you guys to know that Pat Shurmur, the Giants head coach, said that Odell's cleared to practice. He's cleared. You know, he broke his lower leg. Was it his ankle or his lower leg? It was a lower body injury, serious one, last season. He did not participate in any team drills on Tuesday. Coach Shurmur is not saying whether he will get work in this week, but he is cleared. So that's not the issue, and that tells you that he's in a good health place. Hopefully, he also wants a new contract, by the way.
So if you wanted to practice, he could
practice. He is practicing. You could see him out there running around and practicing, just kind of the individual.
Like off to the side,
right.
That type of stuff?
I think they're – and they do this – David Johnson did this earlier this offseason. When a player wants a new contract, they kind of let him do less. Like, they're not going to push Odell to do everything right now because he clearly – maybe doesn't feel too comfortable with that when he's going to be pushing for a new contract. They want him to show up to training camp. This is one that could be annoying during August if he holds out.
That feels like they're in a different place now than they were. When we were at the owners' meetings, for example, this was a huge story, and there was almost the thought that he was certainly getting traded, and now it feels like everybody's on the same page again.
Yeah.
A little court news. Want to do a little court news?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
A little jury news? Connie and I both have jury duty coming up.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if we can coordinate it so we can do it together.
How do we
do that? Little court TV action, maybe?
We just have to delay it to the same week.
Are we both trying to get onto the jury, or are we?
Well, how do you?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far.
You guys won't even. You won't even have the same courthouse, will you? Necessarily, you'll probably be in Santa Monica.
Yeah. I am.
Colleen and Dan.
I'm downtown. And I'm at the OJ courthouse. Actually.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Historic.
It's exciting.
Santa Monica one's nice. You just it's got like an outdoor sort of. Thing you can just chill out at.
It's good for you. Good for you.
Can't wait.
A jury in St. Louis on Tuesday ordered the Rams to pay former running back Reggie Bush $12.5 million after Bush suffered a serious knee injury in 2015. That was the last season the Rams played at the Edward James Olmos Dome, as you remember, before they moved to L.A. And a ridiculous place, a ridiculous building.
I like to call it the Edward James Almost Zone.
And the, shout out to St. Louis podcast listeners. But the dome was antiquated, and I don't even know if it's occupied anymore. It's not called the Edward James Almost Dome anymore. Mm. But there was a concrete ring that circled the field. And anybody could – it was, bad idea genes to the maximum. Like, that you do not have a large, open, concrete swath encircling
– Who planned that?
A football field.
Bad job.
I think the week before, Josh McCown, then a member of the Browns, lost his balance after being pushed out of bounds.
He needs to sue.
I know. He missed the boat on this.
Well, he can jump. I think he can do it now. Let's do it.
Too late. Statue of limitations,
Stop
Greg.
Taking money out of Stan Kroenke's pocket, Greg.
He crashes into the wall. He injures his shoulder. But Bush suffered a bad knee injury, and it led to, which might have been, I don't know if you guys have read about this at all. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I have.
They really, what the court case became was like a deep dive on Reggie Bush's career. And if you remember, Bush, he got hurt with the Niners that year, signed with the Bills, and then became one of the first players ever to average less than a yard a carry.
But he had negative yards.
Negative yards,
season, I believe.
Yes. Yikes. I don't know if it's one of those all-time records you don't want to have.
Right.
So obviously that was used as part of the case against the Rams that he was never the same player after the knee injury. And anyway, it's really interesting. He made they were found 100% liable, the Rams. So they got to pay $4.95 million in compensatory damages and $7.5 million in punitive damages, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
And it was the concrete ring of death that caused it.
That's what they called the lawsuit. That's good branding. That's good branding by the lawyer. Concrete ring of death. Like that's gonna stick.
It got Reggie.
I remember watching that and wondering at the time, how in 2015 or whatever year it was, do we have a concrete ring in an NFL? Right. The same way I think every time I see a Raiders game at home, how are we still playing on a field with an infield?
Well,
we talked about this when it happened, I think, to McCown. And then that's why when the Bush thing happened, it was like everybody threw up their hands like, what? Did the Rams, did St. Louis just give up? What's going on
here?
And
then I think right after that happened, then they put like rubber padding over it.
They did 2 weeks later.
And now Stan Kroenke pays. So Rams fans can be happy for that because it's coming out of the owner's pocket. I don't know if we should be happy necessarily because that little wing that they were planning on building, you know, in the new digs at the Rams stadium, the around the NFL wing. We were just going to have our own floor and we're going to kind of, you know, how GMFB, Good Morning Football, they have that set hanging over Times Square. That was going to be us except for like hanging over the football field.
Yeah, I saw the plans. They're really cool.
That's now out.
Damn. Oh, Reggie Bush has got our wing now?
Yeah.
That money earmarked towards us.
Reggie's
now
a colleague.
Be in the basement.
He's a colleague here at NFL Network. Maybe we could approach him about maybe slicing off a couple million to keep our dream alive.
Get half the wing back, maybe.
After he apologizes to me and Greg for ripping our top 101 free agents rankings on air.
When did that happen?
I don't remember that. What was that?
Wait, missed that. Let's get Reggie
on the
show.
What year is this?
This was a couple of months ago when we had Kirk Cousins over Drew Brees. He about had a fit on air.
Greg, I mean, Wes, come on, you got to bring that to me. We got to make something happen on the show.
Well, Reggie is unaware of this underlying heat that is between.
The Christian Hackenberg era in Oakland already over. Yikes. The Raiders waived the former New York Jets quarterback. And just 3 weeks after Hackenberg was acquired from the Jets, in exchange for a conditional seventh-round pick. So whatever John Gruden, who once upon a time saw Christian Hackenberg after his Penn State days were through and saw a potential star, whatever he saw in 3 weeks was enough for Gruden to wash his hands and get his seventh-round pick back, and it is not good news for the playing future of Mr. Hackenberg.
I believe Rap Sheet said that there were not enough reps to go around, and that's why he was waived. Which leads to the obvious question. If there are not enough reps in June with the man who traded for you after he wrote a column saying you could have been the number one overall pick in the draft, there probably are never going to be enough reps for you ever.
Yeah, Connor Cook's there. That's probably it for Christian Hackenberg. That's a quick fall for a second-round pick. But it happens. Like, I can think of Patriots players they've drafted in the second round that don't make it to a third year. You just don't get noticed as much when you're playing a different position than quarterback.
I know you've heard me bring up this name before. The Bengals once drafted a guy in the second round and cut him after his first training camp. He didn't even make it into year two.
Rough.
That's not a good draft.
Freddie Childress, offensive lineman, cut after his first training camp.
That's not a good use of a draft.
Hackenberg got a lot of – like. We've talked about Hackenberg quite a bit for a guy who never hit the field.
He had a lot of run on the show.
I'm going to say, like he might lead the NFL – like the around the NFL history in conversation to snaps ratio because it's infinite.
I'm sad we don't have a eulogy for him.
He didn't have a snap. True.
And in this case, usually the Jets get talked about too much on this podcast because of me, obviously. But I don't want to talk about Christian Hackenberg ever. So he just kept coming up anyway because he is a truly unique case in draft bust history. Finally in the news, speaking of beefs, Panthers defensive end Mario Addison is not happy with NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal over his top 8 defensive line rankings The Panthers did not get mentioned by Greg, so before we give Greg the floor, let's give Mario the floor.
You know, those guys work hard, man. I work hard. You know, for them to say we're not even top 10 or top 8, you know, it's a slap in the face. Because look at it, man. I mean, our numbers speak for itself. You know, I don't know what they have against, you know, Carolina, this and that, but our numbers speak for themselves, man. What more do you want a D-line to do?
Damn, you slapped Mario Addison in the face.
A slap in the face, Greg. He also called it a joke, and he was wondering what you had against Carolina. Maybe he saw your season preview video from a few years back where you called them a disgrace.
I'm always very pro-Panthers. I was leading the charge with Wes to make them the team of around the NFL. No one's written more positive words about Cam Newton and the Panthers in general over the last 5 years. But this story's had a surprisingly long life because he was tweeting about what a joke it was way back on May 24th. Panthers.com wrote an article not too happy about it, and the defensive line coach had problems with it, and they're still talking about it a couple weeks later.
Well, you're doing something right then.
Well, that's what I kind of – that's my takeaway.
So you're
write
responses.
More defensive line rankings because this thing's got some pop.
So you stand behind your list. He did not open your eyes with any of his commentary, which included, listen, we got two guys with 11 sacks. Julius Peppers is on this line. I mean, we are a great unit, and you say not.
It was a top eight. It was an exclusive club. You know, they didn't make the honor
roll. Not too exclusive. Eight is pretty big.
I thought about them. It is a good-looking group on paper. Maybe I did underrate them. We'll have to see.
This is the reason why I stopped wanting to do rankings for NFL.com and NFL whatever properties we have here. Because every time you do a rankings column, people pay no attention to the analysis that you slaved over, the analysis that you wrote, and all they care about is what number is in front of their favorite team or their favorite group or their favorite this.
That's what the money's for.
Right, yeah.
There's no money that's worth it. I spent 3 days watching film, crafting these sentences, writing this, and all you care about is the little number in bold next to the
name. That's your problem. I don't put that much
Wes,
work into
it. Did you get a lot of feedback from the top – offenses in the NFL? Is that?
Oh, yeah. That got more feedback than anything I've done all year.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. People really care about ranks.
It's time to sell out, bro.
The offseason.
Come on.
Selling out's great.
My numbers are great right now, all these stupid lists I'm doing.
Post-cancer, I just can't find the motivation.
Oh, really?
I can't find the motivations for rankings that people are just going to yell about, and none of it means anything anyway. Whatever.
I like that Dan's on top of his numbers.
Tracking right them now. Closely. Hey, it's goal-setting season.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Here at the NFL.
Oh, God.
Get ready. What do you think about goals in corporations?
My number one goal in life is never have to write goals for a corporate entity again.
I was going
to
say that if you hate doing...
you're striking out right now.
If you hate doing lists post-cancer, I can't imagine what it's like to sit down and write out your corporate goals.
God. I've never done that.
No, they know you're a good employee. Why isn't that enough?
That's fair, bro. I'm with you, bro. All right. That's what's happening in the news.
Well, I want to...
I can't believe we just did that.
No.
Make it stop.
David Ely, our humble editor downstairs, had the idea that Mark Sessler should try to broker a truce because Mario Addison was on the trip with Mark overseas.
Great call,
Dave. We've got a lot of dead time coming up in the next few weeks, so maybe a little conversation with Mario. I try to squash the beat.
There's a goal right there.
I believe Miko Grimes has dibs.
it's funny you mentioned. I was looking through an old article that made Miko Grimes upset a year ago at this very time, and thinking, oh, what fond memories that.
That was when I was pushing Greg to have Lil Debbie drop like a diss track, push a T level diss track.
Yes.
And Greg was just like, no, I want this to go.
I've never been so happy. I think it happened like the day I was going on vacation. I was like,
it's the first time I've seen you physically scared.
Stop.
Had a lot of buzz. Left the country.
There's no winning. There's no winning that battle.
You're right.
It was like Drake trying to, come back.
No, you can't do it.
Can't do it. Just he ended up in bad shape.
Take the L.
All right, here we go. It's time, back by somewhat popular demand, depending on who you ask. Oh, it's the Wheel of Destiny.
I'm nervous.
Where's the studio audience? Are they here?
Hey.
Oh, there they are.
This music, the only thing I remember from it. You guys were like, should we listen to like old shows to prep? It's like, prep is for losers.
Are you calling me a loser? You literally sent me an email this morning and said, I know you like to prep.
Oh, there we go. That was for news. That makes sense.
What a steak.
You can't prep for a game.
Welcome to Wheel of Destiny.
Maybe if Greg did more prep work, he'd fare better in this game.
Now it's time to introduce our contestants. On the other side of the table, she's a Philadelphia native and a school teacher. She's a broadcaster.
Oh.
Colleen Wolf.
Hey, everybody. Thank you. Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Colleen.
Returning champion.
So excited.
The returning champion.
Ooh, really?
You didn't even know, which goes to Greg's point that nobody ever remembers anything about this game.
All right. Sitting to Colleen's right is another former champion. He is a former mailman from Cincinnati, Ohio, West Side, Chris Wessling.
West Side is right.
Yeah.
There's like a Berlin Wall between the East Side and West Side of Cincinnati.
Yeah. Would you be kind of like the lace curtain, on the lace curtain side of things? Like, what's the more hard scrabble side?
Definitely the West Side is the more hard scrabble, blue collar. You know, the East Side is more like 49ers fans, the white wine cheese eating fans.
It's for the audience.
Yeah.
For the audience.
Context.
But, I mean, he ate... What was your saying about you ate bricks for lunch or what? They would throw a brick out.
My favorite toy was a cinder block.
Yeah, the seven brothers would fight over it.
Wasn't there a story about how, like, when your mom would come home with meat, sometimes she'd just throw it at the bottom of the stairs and you guys would, like, fight for it like dogs?
That was Henry, the Wessling who didn't survive.
He was the meat. And finally, sitting to my right, yes, he is often critical of this game. And it is my duty to gaslight him until the end of time. He's Greg Rosenthal.
Where is he from?
Oh,
right.
I should say that. You know where Greg's from. From the vineyard. What's up, Greg? Welcome back.
Western Massachusetts. Proud.
Western Mass, excuse me.
Represent Wilbraham.
Wilbraham, Mass's own.
Shout out to the turkey farms, apple farms.
Strawberry trucks.
You know who we're talking about.
All right. So there are three contestants. And let me just say that as your host, I did do some research. Sometimes I found, especially in last year's edition of Wheel of Destiny, that there were some holes.
Okay.
Basic holes in logic for the game. Rules that just seem to be easily circumvented. Just issues with basic scoring.
Are you saying that I shouldn't have won last year?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you're fortunate that you won.
Mm. I believe it's pronounced Sursumfrent.
Sursumfrent. I tightened it up a little bit. So here are the rules. And if you're new to the show, this will be helpful for you as well. We're going to go around the room a few times until we run out of time. When we do run out of time, you'll hear this.
Oh,
there you go. Okay. So we keep going until we hear that, and then we go to the final round. Correct answers are worth 300 points. Incorrect
300.
Answers. Incorrect.
Are you doing the math?
One of the stakes the stakes being raised. Yes, the stakes being raised. Where I just made the point higher levels higher.
What does that matter?
300 points for a correct answer. Negative 100 for an incorrect answer. Attempt to steal. Anybody can attempt to steal any question, but keep in mind. Incorrect answers on an attempt to steal worth double in the loss column, negative 200.
Who's keeping track of this? We got a scoreboard.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm trusting.
This is a major.
I'm not sure if I'm trusting.
This is like the invention of the forward pass.
Old 49 on the state-mandated math test here to keep track of the score.
It's 39. So there you go. And the winner, of course, of the most points is your champion. So let's get to it.
So now the difference in the game really is there is a consequence for attempting to steal.
Yes.
Okay.
Some minor changes to the rules.
To steal, can you the person you have to give them a chance to answer first? You can just steal anytime you want.
The person will get the opportunity to answer when it's their turn. I will open the floor up.
Got it.
You have the opportunity to steal. You could choose to steal at that point or refrain, and then I will. Let's say everyone refrains. Then I will say either correct or incorrect for the person going, and we move on.
Okay.
And you got to
is there a prize?
Wheel.
What's the wheel?
The wheel is the wheel of destiny. You don't know. We have questions that are going to be asked. I don't know which ones are going to be asked to each of the contestants.
It's a beautiful wheel.
It's a wonderful wheel.
The wheel chooses the questions, you're saying.
It does.
Okay.
It brings up a category, which Lindsay Fulton will announce. I will read the question associated with that category.
Okay. Felt like good information to get out there.
There you go. You ready, Greg? A lot of pressure on you this show.
So ready.
Start it up, Colleen. Oh, nice spin.
Yeah.
You were ready to roll.
It's like, wait, what do I do? Been working out muscles.
Yeah.
The category is, should I stay or should I go?
It's a beautiful Sunday in October, and you're walking the concourse of an NFL stadium 20 minutes prior to kickoff. On your way back from the restroom, a middle-aged, heavyset man in full body paint collapses at your feet. You quickly deduce that a piece of sausage has become lodged in his throat. The man is choking, possibly to death. What do you do? A, quickly locate a stadium employee or EMT. B, continue walking or observe how the emergency plays out. C,
what?
Curl your index finger into a hook and forcefully scoop the lodged meat out of the man's throat. Note, the judges are looking for honesty before morality here. Colleen.
But why isn't, like, the Heimlich...
He's too large.
Yes.
He's too large.
He's too large.
That's heavy set.
That's... What is
so
that?
you gotta go in. I gotta shove my hand down his throat.
Back.
Yes.
With a hook finger.
Index finger hook.
But that guarantees that it saves him.
Maybe.
I'll take my chances with my hook finger.
You'll do it. You have no problem putting your hand inside the stranger's mouth.
I mean, if he's dying, no.
Let me look at you. I just want to make sure you're telling the truth.
But I will say that I would probably try some type of Heimlich maneuver first.
He's a very large man.
Then I'd go in with the hook.
Anybody want to jump in with a steal?
I'm going to try to steal this one.
Okay.
Honestly, you're going to locate an employee or an EMT who could handle it in a much better way, you know, than I can or you can. I think that's the honest answer. That's what you're going to do. You're not sticking your finger in some guy's mouth when he's 300 and something pounds.
Judges, Colleen's answer is...
Save the man.
Incorrect. They're saying incorrect. West with the steal. It's correct.
Yes.
So find someone else to save the man.
Negative 100 for Connie. That's, it's a 300-point score.
I stand by my answer.
All right. West, spin the wheel.
Spin it like a crooked politician.
You're a good person, though, Colleen. I believed you what you said.
Yeah.
Just the wrong move. You're too little. You can't pick him up.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true.
The category is, this feels like a mistake.
The NFL sees the Cornhole Championships picking up steam on ESPN2 and decided it's time for a radical strategy to keep America hooked. On the first Monday of every February, every player in the league is released into free agency. The new start of the league year is now the first day of the NFL redraft. Imagine the logo. It's going to be a ratings bonanza, and you... Connie, have the first overall pick. Who's your choice and why? I mean, West.
I was like, I'm up again?
My bad. West.
My first choice is Aaron Rodgers because he's the best player in the world. He's still in his prime. And one of the things that gets overshadowed in sports is the performance art factor. He has the potential and the demonstrated ability to create a pure moment more than any player in the NFL.
Panache, if you will.
Pure. Purity.
It's a pure moment. He's going to give you goosebumps several times per season. And to me, when you add up your Hall of Fame stats and all that, goosebump factor is the most overlooked.
Anybody want to steal?
I'll try to
steal. It's hard to argue with Aaron Rodgers.
All right, Greg's going to attempt to steal.
While that makes a lot of sense, I'm thinking long term. You know, I'm thinking I want someone that's going to be around for a long time. I want to sell season tickets. I'm going to have a 10-year package for this new season tickets coming up. And so I'm taking Jimmy Garoppolo because everyone's going to be stunned. Everyone's going to be stunned that he ended up going first overall. He's got the looks. People are going to be talking about it. It's bold, and it's going to last.
We were due for someone in the NFL to start planning 10 years ahead of time in a league where
he can play right
people
now.
People get washed out of league
years.
After 2 years.
He can
years.
Play in 10 years. Aaron Rodgers turning 35.
So Jimmy Garoppolo, you got a feeling. Much like Big Mac had a feeling about Christian Hackenberg once upon a time.
Well, I've seen Jimmy Garoppolo play in the NFL.
All right, the correct answer. Judges, does Chris Wessling have the right answer with Aaron Rodgers? Ah, it's the correct answer.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's negative 100 for Greg. It's risky.
Wait, that's negative 200 for an attempted steal.
Oh, attempted steal!
Oh! And I forgot about that.
Wes doing great, up to 600 points already.
Well, I really agreed with Wes, but I just hadn't spoken yet in this game. And you were talking about performance art.
Yes.
You can give me whatever score you want. I'm playing to the masses. I want to perform. I don't care.
Look at that. He's trying to destroy the game again, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Rosenthal, up to his old tricks.
Sock him again.
And by the way, you could still take part in the conversation, but it could be like after the points are rewarded. So you could throw some, just something for the future.
Well, now you know, Greg.
All right, Greg, spin the wheel.
Here we go. Oh, yeah.
The category is somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Oh, yes. ESPN is going with a complete reboot of their Monday Night Football brand, in addition to a new announcing booth, RIP Shawnee Mack. They are mercifully retiring Hank Williams Jr. once and for all, putting an end to that mad decades-long farce. You get to decide which musical act will replace Williams with a new Monday Night Football-themed song.
Yes.
Who's your pick and why?
Oh, wow. That's tough. Trying to think right now.
This is a really tough one.
Who's going to bring people together? Because I don't think you want like an older person. I think right now you go Cardi B. The Cardi B is going to everything she comes out with. Every song on that album is a banger, basically. Like, who has the highest percentage of bangers right now? I'm going to say Cardi B. It's going to appeal to the women, the kids, the men, everyone.
I will challenge.
Do you have anything else to say? Add to that, Greg?
That's it.
Colin, I'd respect.
Right. Please. I'm sorry. You're the host.
Does anyone want to challenge?
I would like to challenge.
We have two challenges? All right, Colleen first.
Okay. What if it was Jay-Z and Beyonce? It's timely. They're on the run tour right now, so it would make sense for next season to roll it out. And you know, you got Jay-Z and Beyonce. They're very, very.
They're gonna say no though. You don't want the PR disaster of them possibly.
How do you know that?
They're too big for money.
You could go so many different directions, though, with Jay-Z and Beyonce. I feel like they can span a lot of different genres.
Direction could be no.
Wes?
I know you didn't expect me to come up with an answer here, and I'm not going to go Emmylou Harris, even though I'm tempted. I know my judges too well.
In America? But
we're going with a two-sport star here. We're going with an actor slash musician.
Oh, no.
Donald Glover slash Childish Gambino.
So good.
He's on top of the world right now. We get him. We're sailing. We're flying, baby.
This Is America will play really well, I think.
Yeah, I think that's really the corporation and the entity that Childish Gambino wants to back right now.
All right, here, Colleen, the judges on Colleen.
Aww.
Wes, judges.
Oh. Wow.
Flew too close to the sun.
Judges on Greg. That's correct, Cardi
wow.
B.
Okay. Wow.
Greg was right on two parts. Cardi B, not only extremely popular and, you know, very prolific right now.
Yeah.
Everything she touches turns to gold. She also seems to cross the aisles. She connects with Black America, White America. She's that type of artist right now. An artist America needs. And also, she'll probably say yes. Jay-Z and Beyonce? Maybe Sunday Night Football. Maybe. Monday Night Football?
Aww.
Can we take a minute here to get that ball back from the stands? That's Greg's first ever points in this game.
Oh, my God. Really?
Thanks, Wes. I'm going to keep that.
All right. So Greg gets up to 100. Congratulations. We'll check the score now as we end round one. Greg at 100 points. Wes at 400 points. I think I'm right. After round one. And Connie Fox sitting at negative 300.
Yeah.
Not good, Colleen. You have to get into positive numbers to be able to participate in the finals.
All right, here we go.
You don't want to pull
a
Reggie Bush.
You're
right. Finishing the negative.
Well.
All right.
Make a lot of money, though.
Colleen, it's time again for you to spin the wheel.
Okay, here we go.
Ooh, powerful spin, a masculine spin.
Is this about my hair?
I like that cut. I like it.
And this category is secrets. Secrets are no fun. Secrets, secrets hurt someone.
Oh, my God.
You're in an NFL function of some kind. It's fairly intimate, and you strike up a conversation with a star NFL player who's definitely not Drew Brees. It was nice, a good story to tell friends and podcast listeners. Later in the night, you're stunned to see the same star player making a beeline for you. He's disheveled and proceeds to tell you something he says has been on his mind all night. Several years earlier, while driving his pickup truck on a desolate country road, he accidentally hit an individual that looked exactly like you.
What?
A dead ringer. No pun intended. He made the fateful decision that night to keep driving. And now, in his obviously unsteady state, he appears to be using this chance encounter to let himself off the hook for a heinous misdeed. Obviously, it's not the case. You were not this person. You know that. He doesn't. This mystery man definitely isn't Drew Brees.
Okay.
Question. Okay. What do you do with this information?
Why am I getting moral questions?
Hey, that's how the wheel spins.
I don't have, like, there's no choices. This is just open-ended. What do you do?
I want to know. The judges want to know. America wants to know what you do.
I would probably walk right over to you guys because I'm sure you guys would be also at this NFL function and immediately ask you guys what I should do. And I feel like this plays to the host a little bit too, Dan.
Wait, so you're saying that you would not take any ownership of the situation at that point. You would put a decision of this magnitude
on someone else.
So and beyond that, you are basically admitting it's not even about morals. You're just trying to score points in a little frivolous game show here.
Yeah, and I'm trying to bring other people into this problem now that is on my shoulders. So now it's our shoulders. So now we all will carry this burden together.
It's kind of like I know what you did last summer type
scenario.
Exactly. We know how that turned out.
Yep.
Okay, anybody want to jump in with a steal?
I was going to, but my answer is too close to hers.
Mm. Ooh.
So my official, I will not attempt to steal.
I'll try to steal.
Go ahead, Greg.
What I would do is I'd start talking to Ian Rappaport, maybe Dan Hansis, insiders at the network.
See, that's
look
what I
for
saying.
A second source.
Give it to the NFL.
Break this story
give
wide
it to the
open.
NFL media.
My
insider.
Answer was literally, I would bring it to you.
Well, but I'm looking at it from a news perspective.
Bring
I don't care about
Dan
this guy's
and see
moral.
Two more sources.
I'm just saying this is potentially a big story, and it's my responsibility to get a second, maybe a third source.
Okay, so this is very interesting for the judges. It's basically. Do you bring it to your friends and from that angle? And some friends that are hyper-connected in the insider world, like yours truly. Or do you just take a step back and try to remove yourself from it and just make it about it's a football story. It's a national story. It's a news story. That's Greg's path. Judges, Colleen, does she have the right answer or the wrong answer?
The right answer. All right. Yeah, because look, we don't even know. Maybe it isn't true. Maybe this this person who's not Drew Brees is maybe he's drunk. Maybe he's just trying to like stir things up. Maybe he's just trying to who knows start a conversation.
Right. I like that the heat on Drew Brees for this is so heavy that he can't
wait,
be
wait,
part
it
of
is
the
not
question.
Drew Brees.
No, I know. That's why I said.
That's what I'm saying.
Not,
the heat on him is so heavy that he can't be a part of this question.
It's not him. Yeah.
It is definitely not Drew Brees. All right, Colleen, a much needed 300 points.
So what happens with Greg there? Like. No points off, but also no points scored?
No, he loses 200.
Wow.
He attempted a steal.
That feels a little dirty.
It's the danger of trying to steal.
You miss 100% right. of the shots you don't take. I'm just trying to get airtime here.
All right, Wes, spin the wheel.
Can we save that I'm just trying to get airtime here drop for Greg next time he's on NFL Network? Spin it like a Browns fan in denial.
And the category is, we need a ruling, bruh.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Here's my ruling. Never use bruh again.
Bruh, you have been given the power to alter or eradicate any one provision in the NFL rulebook. What is your choice and why? Straightforward.
Well, now that the catch rule is ostensibly fixed, we got to get rid of the rule that fumbling out of the end zone goes to the other team.
Oh yeah.
We got to get rid of that rule. That's the most antiquated, brain dead rule in the NFL.
What would you like to see happen?
Back to the 20-yard line for the team, for the offense.
So essentially a 20-yard penalty. Don't replay the down. Loss of down.
This feels like a very detailed answer you want from me.
Well, what? You just want the rule book to be vague?
You just said which rule we change. I'm just telling you that's the rule.
I want the new rule, Wes. Christopher.
20-yard line.
Why? How could it be the right answer? If
you lose a down.
Loss it down.
And 20-yard
line. Ball placed at the 20.
Yes.
Anybody want to steal?
I like that rule. I mean, what?
Yeah, that's a good one.
The way Wes said it.
I hate the rule as it stands now. It's awful.
Okay, judges. It's correct.
All right.
Yeah.
Also would have accepted the national anthem rule. Would have been accepted. Would have been accepted.
That's a good.
That's what you were getting at.
If somebody would have jumped in.
Judges seem, particularly favorable on Wes today, coming off a tough part of his life. Just saying.
They're only human, Greg.
Give it up, everybody. Wes beat cancer.
I think they're giving it up for Greg.
Oh. Give it up for Greg. He's coming around, I feel like.
Oh.
They still hate him.
All right, Wes. Greg, spin the wheel.
All right.
This is a good one. League, colon, 32. More like 30 boo.
All right, here we go. And I would refrain from editorializing, please, Lindsay, in the future.
Sorry about that.
This is Dan's game.
The NFL has decided it wants to experiment with 28 teams for one season. There's no public explanation given, and surprisingly, the public doesn't make a big deal about it. 345 Park decides the cleanest amputation route is to lop off an entire division. Roger Goodell asks you to salad and gives you the news that it will be your job to decide which division gets temporarily eliminated. What's your choice and why?
It's so easy. The AFC South. I mean, if you removed it and you didn't tell anyone outside of those cities, it's possible no one would even notice.
Well, it's amazing that NFL Network has already removed that division.
Right, it's already.
This is not a challenge. You're not. Oh, wait, you didn't open it up yet. I'm sorry.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, I mean, I apologize to all the AFC South fans out there, but it's just the obvious answer.
All right, I'm going to open the floor up. Anybody want a challenge?
No challenge, but I would like to say the AFC East.
What does that mean?
Just want to throw it out there for conversation. Just kicking it around. All right, fine. I'll challenge.
You're gonna challenge.
I'll throw the AFC East out there because every year it seems like it's gonna be the Patriots, and it is the Patriots, and the other teams don't even have a shot. So why not just get rid of the AFC East?
You just folded the host team.
I know that was not a good move.
I know that's why I wasn't originally doing it, but then I was like, all right, I gotta have some onions here. So there we go.
Okay. Well.
I was going to try the NFC East, but then there would be no more televised football, so we can't have
that. Okay, so the AFC East, Colleen, the AFC South, Greg Rosenthal. Judges, Colleen, AFC East.
Oh. My parents are going to kill you. What was that from? Audience is great. Like you guys are great today.
Greg Rosenthal says the AFC South. Oh, wow. Very good. Yep. Very good.
Hey, look, Jags and Titans. I find your team interesting. I'm just saying, if the NFL had to get rid of one, come on.
Okay, so there you go. We're going to go one more time around, going the other direction, starting with Greg Rosenthal. Here we go. Spin it, Greg.
Oh, no.
Oh, lose a turn.
No. That's what luck.
Yeah, it's weird that the order pivoted there.
Dan's having way too much fun with this game. He loves it.
You always step on that landmine, Greg.
Sorry, Greg.
All right.
If there's a rake in the yard, Greg will step on it.
Okay. To Wes.
I haven't seen Dan this happy since like week 16 of 2015.
It's been a long time.
Spin it like Julia Andrews before the wheels come alive.
Oh, good bit. But we're out of time. We got to go straight to the finals. Oh. Let's see where we are. Colleen, you had 100 points in round two, negative. So you're at negative 200.
Hey, not bad. Actually.
But you know what? I just got to say, you've been a good sport today. Uh-huh. I'm going to give you 500 points and get you into the final.
Wait, what? Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like when they give people on Jeopardy house money to bet with.
Mm. All right, Wes, you are having a great round. 300, 600, 400, 700 points going into the finals.
That's some interesting math, but yes, you got the right answer.
And Greg Rosenthal, 100, 200 points going into Final Jeopardy. And because, Greg, you are a good guy, I'm going to give you 150 points, 160 points.
Stakes have really been raised.
Wait, but
360
Wes isn't
points
getting any
Greg.
Points from you?
Nope. And he's getting a little too much post-cancer pop, so I'm going to keep Wes at 700. And here we go. Now, the final round.
Dan's passing out note
cards.
So it's
possible
that
he can
get more than me. So that it's possible someone could pass you. Yeah.
Are we supposed to write on this? I don't have a pen.
All right. Write down how much you can. How much you're going to wager? You could wager up to all of your.
I mean, I don't have a pen either, but I'm putting it all down there.
Where am I again? How many points do I have? Or
you're 300 right
now. Okay. Oh, perfect. Okay. Can I borrow that pencil, Wes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go. The final question, who decides the winner of Wheel of Destiny, the drama is, you could cut the drama.
Yeah, with a knife.
With a knife. All right, borrowing a conceit from Bill Simmons' book of basketball, aliens have come to Earth. They want to harvest our planet. But they are strangely diplomatic about things, so they honor mankind's wishes to enter into peace talks. Mm. Ultimately, a deal is struck. A 5-on-5 flag football game with Earth at stake. The aliens are freakishly rangy Kevin Durant-like athletes, but we know nothing else about their abilities. Who are the five players you'll turn to save mankind?
Wait, but it's a football game, right?
It's a flag football game.
Flag football.
Yep.
Are we writing down?
You're writing your five down.
Can you repeat that again?
Yes. Aliens have come to Earth. It's been decided. Earth will be decided by a 5-on-5 flag football game. The five aliens are rangy Kevin Durant-type athletes. We don't know if they could ball, but we know that they are physically impressive. You need to come up with five football players to defeat the Durant aliens to save humanity. They are writing. Colleen thinking.
Overthinking.
I think she seems confident. Wes, I saw him scribbling immediately. Greg seems to be in thought as well. Oh, I just saw him cross out a name. Very interesting. You got 10 more seconds.
Feel good about this. Feel good about my answers. Wish I wagered more money. Or points, whatever this is.
You had more points.
Wait, 300 sandwiches would be cool.
Oh, that's good. They're now sandwiches, not points. All right, put down your pens. Wes, as the leader, entering the final round, you will get to answer first. Let's see what you got.
Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Gronk. J.J. Watt and Saquon Barkley.
I thought Raekwon Swift would get there after Wednesday show or Monday show.
Saving him until he reveals Raekwon. Himself.
So OBJ.
Julio Jones.
Julio.
Gronk.
Gronk.
J.J. Watt.
Watt.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon.
Is this game soon? Because, not a healthy group. Just saying.
Shade.
I stand by my selections.
All right. Second place entering the final round is Greg Rosenthal with exactly 360 points.
Okay.
Or sandwiches. What do you have, Greg?
360.
I'm going with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Le'Veon Bell.
Lev, okay.
Julio Jones.
Interesting.
Antonio Brown.
What if Julio Jones held out for the game?
Well, we're all done.
All right, Antonio Brown and?
Patrick Peterson.
Pat Pete.
Those aliens aren't. They're not completing any passes on Pat Pete.
Connie Fox.
I went with Brady, Antonio Brown, Aaron Donald, Lev Bell, and Gronk. Solid team.
Solid. Now, I really thought about what skills are going to be useful in a five-on-five type of game. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. It's different than regular football.
Let's see. Very interesting. Each of you had one defender and four offensive players. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
From a quarterback perspective, Wes does not have a quarterback.
That's all right. I got Beckham.
It's very interesting.
Can't hide your quarterback on defense in a flag football game against five Kevin Durant.
Interesting.
True. That is true.
Says, you know, the owner of a team with Tom Brady. So that could be definitely Brady. I think Aaron Rodgers could play a little defense. Put him up against that worst alien. He's going to be fine.
You get a concussion on the first play of the game.
Aaron Donald can handle any defense. All right, Greg.
Greg with Aaron Rodgers.
Brady's out there trying to catch passes like he was in the Super Bowl.
All right, good point, good point.
Aaron Rodgers for Greg at quarterback like that. And Colleen went with Tom Brady. Aaron Donald, big freak. Is he a good matchup against a Durant-like alien? I don't know about that.
Maybe. I don't know that pass rush is all that important in a flag football game.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, he's an athletic dude. You don't know what these aliens are going to be bringing to the
table. You also got to count to five alligator before you can rush. All right, this is the hardest decision the judges have ever had to make on Wheel of Destiny.
What's it going to be?
Wes, no quarterback.
Ben's head is
I don't want a quarterback.
No quarterback. No quarterback.
This is not the NFL. This is flag football versus aliens.
You're going to go with Greg.
The whole paradigm has shifted.
It'd be good to advance the ball, though, through the air.
Well, yeah, I got Saquon Barkley. Don't worry about it.
I mean, a lot of wide receivers without anyone to throw it to.
The correct answer.
Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Gronk. Oof.
The correct answer is Chris Wessling's team.
Well played. Good game.
I'm just curious what you guys wagered.
Let the record show.
Wes bet it all.
1,400.
Then it was 1,400. What did you wager, Greg?
All 360.
All 360. Connie.
300.
You guys are all warriors.
Yep.
There were literally zero consequences for not wagering at all.
That's right.
For wagering at all.
Congratulations, Chris Wessling, once again the champion. The champion of Wheel of Destiny.
You did it.
I do want to thank the crowd for their support today, for recognizing no one is taking Wessling's little flag football team over mine in reality. It's just it's a rigged game.
Such a sore loser.
It's a little Hallmark Channel story over
you
here.
You put Le'Veon Bell on your flag football team?
You stopping him? No one can touch him. I'd rather actual football.
Against aliens built like Kevin Durant. Give me the workout warrior, Saquon Barkley, who's going to be faster, stronger, jumps higher.
NFL players can't touch him. Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be hungry? Oh, my God.
All right,
that's
it.
How many of these do we have?
For another episode of Wheel of Destiny, I want to thank everybody for joining us and watching along at home. Congratulations again to Chris Wessling, his second victory in 3 years. And we'll see you again next year. And we'll also see you on Friday. Till then.
You're really good at this. We'll be right back.